Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
Father, we just, hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for your word. We thank you for this time. Holy Spirit, you're our teacher. You lead us and guide us into all truth. Father, I thank you for your anointing on your word. I thank you, Lord, that the entrance of your words brings light, that it's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, that it transforms our minds so that we think the way you think. Father, we just believe you for good utterance and boldness and truth spoken in love this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Well, I'm going to continue in our series this morning. I just want to say before I do, thank you to everybody that covered all the services and taught and did your serve the church while we were gone, because it's a blessing to be able to leave. Honestly, I didn't even think about it when I was gone. I mean, it's not like I didn't have thoughts about the church, but I've been in ministry now for a few years, and I've had been around enough pastors to know that some of them can leave the building, but they can't leave it in their head. And so they panic and get upset and are constantly worrying about what's going on. And I never did, because I know we have good help. So I'm very thankful for that. It's good to have good help. You know what I mean? The other thing I was going to say is this, is that, you know, I just want to say thank you for giving like you have financially. I know it's a faith act and it's a faith step, and God sees it, and you will have a harvest. I said you will have a harvest. It will come back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. It will come back. Now, how it come back, I don't know. You know what I mean? I can't say it's coming on September 8th at 3 p.m., okay? But it will come back, because God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And that those finances that are coming in, Mike hasn't been giving you the building update, because I feel like I wanted to change it. So we're just going to do it once a month at the beginning of the month, so you kind of get an overview instead of every week. But we are in the process of, and speaking of people that work hard, Josh Meeks back there in that sound booth, I'm telling you what. But no kidding. I mean, you know, there's a lot of churches and people do this. They talk about volunteers. I'm not a volunteer for God. I'm his servant. He tells me what to do, and I do it. And that doesn't always mean it comes with a, you know, like you have a job, you expect a paycheck. It doesn't mean that God doesn't pay. It just takes faith to do it. And there are a lot of faithful people in this church that you don't ever see that are serving and doing and just doing a lot to love and to be a part, not only God, but to love and to serve everybody in the church. And I'm very thankful for him. But I've been working with Josh, and we're going to be purchasing a live stream system. So we're going to be live streaming our services coming up here. He's been doing research like crazy, and I'll do it, and I'll call him and interrupt his day. And he just gets after it. I love it. It's a big help. It's a big blessing. And we bought, I know you don't necessarily see it here, but in the back room back here, we have 50 chairs just like the ones you're sitting in that we were able to purchase because you give. How many like the new windows? How many love the shades? I mean, I'm telling you, I cut those things in half and made two into one. And I mean, you can barely tell they only cost $6. But in all actuality, because of your giving, I have 10 blinds in the back there that have been shipped. They're already here. We just haven't had the time yet to put them in. So they're going in. All the windows, everything that we've done is because of the faithfulness of God through you. And so we're thankful for it, okay? And people say, well, why do you need to go, or why do you need to, everything we do, and this is my mentality, okay? We cannot overspend in spreading the gospel. And people say, well, you know, buying new windows is not spreading the gospel, but it sure makes it comfortable for all the people that come that hear the gospel. Buying air conditioners isn't spreading the gospel. Yeah, well, it is in a sense. I mean, it's a little easier to sit and listen in 72 even than 110. Amen? And if you gave out of love into God's kingdom, he sees it. See, it's not about all the peripheral stuff. What about doing a live stream? Well, I'll just tell you this. There are 2 billion people on Facebook. 2 billion. And they add, and they say, the statistics say, because I've looked at them, but the statistics say that 1.7 billion check in a day. Isn't that amazing? Can I ask you something? If that big of the population, 80% of the population, checked into a store in Billings every day, do you know where I would be? I'd be at that store going, come to Faith Family Church. Come to Faith Family Church. Every single day I would be there. I don't care if they're tired of seeing me. I don't care if they threw the invite back in my face. I'd be like, hey, how's it going? Remember me? I was here yesterday. I'd shave my beard off, change my identity, and show up the next day. I don't know you whether you really, I've read these things and studied these things, but the first major gospel net was the printing press. The second one was the radio. The third one was what? TV. What's the fourth one? Internet. It's the World Wide Web. Well, have you ever seen a spider spin a web? Things get stuck in it. I'd like to stick the gospel in the World Wide Web. You say people are already doing it. Well, I can't help what they're doing. Praise God for them. I know what we're called to. Okay? And so it all plays a part. So everything that is a part of that, you guys have a part of that. They may not ever see your face. They may not ever hear you preach. You don't have to be the preacher. And some of you, you just be thankful that you don't have to be, okay? Because you don't get all the heat then that comes with it. There's a grace for that. You know what I mean? But God sees everything you're doing, and he knows. He sees where you're at. He sees when you've sacrificed. He's seen when you've given. He's seen when you loved your neighbor as yourself. He knows, and he rewards. Amen? You know, there's a scripture that says that the Lord rewards those who diligently seek him. Do you know what most people emphasize in that verse? Diligent. Do you know what you should emphasize? That God's a rewarder. Because most people don't believe God's a rewarder. Do you know what the word reward means? Pay back. That's what it means. Look it up. I looked it up in the Greek. It means pay back. So you can say this, the Lord is paying me back for the times and the time in my life that I've diligently sought him. Amen? Did God say he was? Then he is, and he's doing it. What do we need to be? Willing and open to receive. Amen? So I just want to say thank you for what you're doing. Thank you. God is amazing. He brings people in. He brings people together. He puts calls on people's lives, and everybody, he just puts it all together. And as he does, man, God begins to do something. People begin to see it, and they connect in it in heart, and he just begins to increase and increase that thing. And we've seen that happen for us here at the church, and we're thankful for it. So, that being said, I think this actually might be our last. I thought I was going to do a few more in this series, but this might be the last one in this. And we're talking about being salt and light. If you want to open up in your Bibles, or if you have your phone or wherever you got your Bible at, Matthew 5, verse 13. And I'm going to read kind of our main text for this series that we've looked at. And we'll go from here and get you on your way. Give you some spiritual food so you have something to go on this week as you continue through your week. The Bible in Matthew 5:13 says this, and I'm reading from the New King James Version. It says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men." Verse 14 says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden." You know, God desires to set you on a hill. You know, I think sometimes we get, our mind will go in a certain direction, but this is meant to be somewhat allegorical in a sense. It's supposed to be type of something. In other words, God wants to put you as a believer, as a child of His, as a child born of light. He has strategically placed you in a specific position where you can be lifted up as a light to draw men to the Lord. You know that? It's no accident where you are. It's no accident the family that you're in. It's no accident the job that you have. There are opportunities to be light. Those are, I guess you could call them the hills. Not the hills, not the Mike, yeah, not the hill family. The hills that God has placed you. The family that you have an opportunity to be a light there. People say, I don't even like my family. You don't have to like them, just love them. Sometimes people don't get that. They're like, well, isn't that the same? Not even close. Well, I don't like my job. Yeah, but you had an opportunity to be a light. Well, I don't like my neighbors. They're too loud. Be a light. Be a light. Be a witness. Pray for them. So you have opportunity to be light. You have opportunity to be salt. Verse 15 says this, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket on a lampstand. But on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Notice that letting your light shine has to do with doing good what? Works. Your words and your actions are all witnesses to people around you. I think sometimes, it's just kind of the nature of it, but when we talk about witness or being a witness, people think I'm going witnessing. I got to go knock on someone's door. Well, that is a way to witness, but it isn't necessarily the only way. There are many ways to be a witness, and one way is doing good work. So we looked at a couple of different things. The first week we talked about, if you want to go back and listen to them, they're all on the website, faithfamilybillings.com. But if you want to listen to them, you can, the other messages. But we talked about kind of the vision of Faith Family Church and what we were going to do and why we're doing what we're doing. We talked about in week two about catching God's heart for the lost. And then we talked about in week three, we shared on being stones and soldiers. And so I just want to review one thing about concerning being a stone in the kingdom of God. In Galatians chapter 5, verse number 13, it says this, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Have you been called to bondage? No, you've been called to what? Liberty. That's freedom. Then it says this, only do not use your liberty or your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. Through love, serve one another. Well, you say, what's that got to do with being a stone? Because see, we talked about it last week. Jesus is looking for building material and soldiers. Building material, the Bible calls us actually in 1 Peter, living stones. The thing about living stones is that they can get up and move somewhere else. Even though the Lord placed them somewhere. Have you ever noticed that before? I call them Pentecostal church hoppers. They don't ever plant anywhere. You know what the problem, have you ever tried to, how many here have gardens or have planted a tree or something like that? Have you ever planted a plant and then pulled it up out of its spot and planted it somewhere else and then pulled it up out of its spot and planted it somewhere else and then pulled it up out of its spot and planted it somewhere else and then pulled it up out of its... How well does that plant grow? You know, spiritually, you're exactly the same way. You've got to develop roots. People say, yeah, but they did this to me or this or that or whatever. Okay, first of all, you need to find wherever God has for you, for sure. But I will just tell you this, wherever you do go, doesn't matter where you go, let's just say, because my spiritual father in the faith used to say this to us, you find the perfect church, you will mess it up when you get there. You are all blessed in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. I can do that. My grandparents were Episcopal. In other words, there's never going to be a perfect one. Amen? I used to, I'd joke with people, you know, we could just send you to heaven because it's perfect there. But it's not going to be here. But what does this through love serve? Why put through love in there? Because you're going to have opportunity to get out of love. Amen? You're going to have opportunity to be offended. Somebody's going to hurt you. Somebody's going to offend you. If you don't think it's so, or if it hasn't happened yet, just stick around. I'll probably do it. Why? Because I'm not perfect. I'm not believing for it, but I'm not perfect. Okay? So I can mess things up sometimes. What about soldiers? What does a soldier look like? Mark 16:15, everybody knows this. They've read it before. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Can I ask you something? What are those signs? They are good works. Remember we just read, let your good works be seen by men. You know, when most people think of good works, and this is a biblical truth. This is right. There's nothing wrong with it. They think about taking care of widows and orphans. You know, that's biblical, right? But you know, this is biblical too. People say, well, you want me to pray for the sick? I thought the preacher was supposed to pray. No, these signs will follow them who believe. People say, well, I didn't know that. I know, but you just heard the word. So faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. So you can do it where you're at. This is part of being salt and light. You know why most Christians are bored or need entertainment at church? Because they don't practice the word during the week. If your Christian walk outside of the church is not as fiery as you would like it to be, begin to pray for the sick wherever you're at. Not even one amen on that. Did I write these verses? Does it say the same thing in your Bible? Or do I have a special version? The preacher version. People say, well, if I do that, that could cause a ruckus. Well, if you're bored in your Christianity, maybe a ruckus would be good. You know, wherever Paul went, he had revival or riot. It was an R&R ministry. You know, Paul didn't have enough sense either. He'd go into a place, I mean natural sense, he had spiritual sense. Paul go into a place, get stoned to death. Then he'd go back after he was raised from the dead. You know, that'll wake a church service up. That guy was preaching. What happened? They killed him. What happened then? They took him out of the city and raised him up and he came back in. That'll mess up normal religious services. You know, that was not in the service plan. You know, from 10:35 to 10:45, raise Paul from the dead. From 10:45 to 11:35, Paul preaches again. You know what I love about reading the Bible? I like to plug our world back into theirs, you know. Paul goes into a city, stands in the middle of the city, and preaches the gospel, right? No worship beforehand. It's not like the worship leader's up there warming the crowd up. You know, we come into our setting and what we know is church. And there's nothing wrong with what we have. But we need to realize the church wasn't built for walls. You're supposed to be out there being salt and light. And that's why a lot of times that people get... they get disillusioned in their faith. They get dried. Because a lot of our church culture is built around come and eat and go and do nothing. Can I ask you something? If in the natural, if all we do is eat 8,000 calories a day on the couch, what will happen? Yeah, short life. Short life. You physically, you'll just, your body can't do that. Well, spiritually, you're the same way. There's a lot of people that haven't burned up the last spiritual meal they have because they haven't used their faith at all week. And they keep hearing messages and keep hearing messages and keep hearing messages, but they never do anything. So they're not in any sort of spiritual shape. So they feel sluggish. They feel kind of like, oh, God, I don't know what you're doing. Maybe I need to change my environment. Maybe we need a new worship song to come out. Maybe I need a preacher that uses PowerPoint. Or more motion in the background. You know, I need something. I need more laser lights and smoke, and maybe that way. And you say you're against those things? No, I'll use them all. I don't care. What I'm against is the church getting full and never doing anything. See, because my job, and people don't realize this, if you're called to any sort of ministry as far as fivefold ministry goes, the job of the pastor is this. The neighbor started his hot rod. All right, that's all that is. So let's just ignore that, okay? He'll be gone here in a minute. I rebuke the devil in the name. Wait, that's not the devil. So the job of the minister is to train you to do the work of the ministry. Did you know that? If you read Ephesians chapter 5, you'll see it. But what happens is sometimes the minister's insecure and he thinks he has to do everything. I'm not that guy. Okay? Or they think, well, man, if they get really good, they'll be. But, and I do agree with this to a degree. I am supposed to work myself out of a job, in a sense. Now, we should all be producing. Does that make sense? In other words, there should be new people coming, people getting saved, things changing, things increasing all along. So I will never technically get out of a job, but what will happen is the job is supposed to get too big for me. And others in the ministry, in the church, are to rise up as stones and begin to work. They're to rise up as soldiers and begin to work and do the work. And we're supposed to reproduce and reproduce and reproduce and reproduce and reproduce. Amen? And that's what's supposed to happen. That's what's supposed to take place. So let's go to John chapter 4, and we'll finish up here this morning. She's warmed up. Take off, brother. Take off. Verse 27. I'm going to have to make a phone call this week. So far this week, I almost had to have a vehicle towed out of the parking lot twice, but I left him a note. Said, if you don't have it gone by the morning, I'm going to have it towed. They were gone. And then the next day I came in and there was another vehicle here, so I took a picture of that one. Sometimes, I don't know why it is that church parking lots can attract, well, I guess light attracts bugs. So, all right, so John chapter 4. I gave him an invite to the church. I mean, I just can't let him park here. Verse number 27 says this. At this point, his disciples came and they marveled that he talked with a woman. Yet no one said, what do you seek or why are you talking with her? The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city and said to the men, come and see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Isn't that good? Verse 30, then they went out of the city and came to him. In the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat, of which you do not know. Verse 33, therefore the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him anything to eat? Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say, there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for the harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. Verse 37, for in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you, I love this, verse 38, I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labors. So if you're taking notes this morning, I was going to talk about this first in the title of this morning's message after the I just went through the review, is the harvest is white. The harvest is white. So we're going to go back to verse 27. We're going to go back to verse 35, and we're going to just look at this and what took place right here. The harvest is white. So the Lord says to them in verse 35, do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. So in verse 35, we see here that Jesus says, don't say there's still 4 months until the harvest. So what is Jesus doing here? Jesus is using a natural thing, a natural truth that these men understand about harvesting wheat or harvesting a crop, the farming process, and tying a spiritual truth into it. Do you see that? He's saying, look, don't you guys say 4 more months and then the harvest? How many know there's a harvest season in Montana? There's a season. There's a time. Now, it's not an exact date. It's not like, okay, on this date, at this time, we're going to harvest. It's kind of a season. But the farmer, what does the farmer know? He knows, he watches the process. He knows when to plant. He knows first he has to work that ground up and get it all tilled up. Then he's got to plant the seed. Then he watches the seed grow. Then as the seed grows, how many have seen wheat grow? It starts out green, doesn't it? But it ends up what? Almost gold. I mean, it's yellow gold. It has some of that brown in it. But you, and then what do you know? When you drive by a field like that, what do you know? They're going to be harvesting soon. So he's taking a natural truth here, and he's applying a spiritual principle to it. Have you ever noticed Jesus did this all the time? He said he would use fishing all the time with these guys. Why? They were fishers. They were fishermen. That's what they did. And so he says, do you not say that there are 4 months and then comes the harvest? Jesus is taking the disciples' understanding of farming and teaching them a spiritual principle. He is telling them, you have learned to recognize natural harvests. Now I'm going to teach you how to recognize spiritual harvests. Jesus just harvested this woman at the well. He recognized a ripe, and I put thirsty, person who needed spiritual water. Now, the example that Jesus uses with the woman is the well, drawing water from the well. I mean, Jesus had sermon illustration after sermon illustration. It was just whatever was right in front of him. But he took the well situation. So the Holy Spirit's speaking to Jesus about this woman at the well. He starts talking to her about living water, something that she knows she needs because she's coming for natural water. And he begins to use that to get into her life, to begin to speak into her life, and then to lead her to believe in him as the Son of God, which is what we can do as well. So just like a natural harvest have a certain look when they are ready to be brought into the bin, the same is true for spiritual harvests. The same is true for spiritual harvests. So if the harvest is white, what do we need to do? We need to learn to recognize ripe spiritual harvests in your life or your world. In this case, this woman at the well was dehydrated of heart. Does that make sense? Jesus is offering her what? Living. But it isn't natural water. So what is this living water ministering to? Her. So she's dehydrated of heart. She was looking through what the world offered and said was going to satisfy the longing of her heart. But it only left her with 5 divorces and a live-in boyfriend. You see that? He said, what did Jesus tell her? Go and get your husband. She said, I have no husband. What's she doing? Avoiding the issue. He said, you're right. You don't have a husband. You've had how many? 5, and the one you have is what? Not yours. But did Jesus still reach out to her? Come on. See that. See that, okay? And then he says this. We see this. Really, if you think about it, it is a Christian, it is as a Christian. Really, if you think about it, as a Christian, especially if you have been saved for a long time, you can see people ready for harvest all around you, family, friends, coworkers, neighbors, in general, the people we come in contact with on a daily basis in our worlds. So in other words, if you think about what Jesus is recognizing in this woman's life, if you think about your own family, your own friends, the people you have contact with in your life, begin to sit, you know, raise up that spiritual antenna in your life and go, Holy Spirit, how can I help the people that are around me? How can I minister to them? Is this person ready for harvest? Don't just look at the top of their head and go, well, they look like they're ready for harvest. You know, they got white hair. They better be harvested soon. You know what I mean? Don't just do that. Listen to your heart on the inside and go, God, where are they at? How many have coworkers that you've known now for years and they come in and go, man, this just happened, that just happened, or you hear about a need in their life? What is that? That's not just for you to be sympathetic. It's for you to be compassionate. You say, what do you mean by that? Compassion is moved to action. Sympathy just feels sorry with them. You know, like people have, you know, Hallmark's made billions on it, sympathy cards. What about compassion cards? You say, what does that mean? That means when I go to your situation, or me in my own life, when I go to a situation that looks, that's difficult, that I know is difficult, or I hear about one, what do I check on the inside of me? I check on the inside of me and go, Lord, what do you want me to do for this person? I don't immediately think, call my pastor and say, we have a need. It's not that we won't take prayer requests. It's not that we don't pray for them, because we do. But you have the same Spirit of Christ within you. And you need to learn to develop in that and use that, because you'll have satisfaction in operating in those things and your life won't be spiritually dull. I got to get up and I got to do my devotion. And I got to pray for 15 minutes. And then I got to go to work. And what'd you do at work? Well, I went to work and I did my work and I came home. And what'd you do when you came home? I watched my favorite TV show, and then we ate dinner, and then I watched another one of my favorite TV shows, and then we went to bed because we got to get up in the morning. I got to do my devotion, and then, come on, Christian boredom. But it doesn't, routine is not the problem, because you need to go to work. It's good to go to work. God said, you don't work, you don't eat. I like to eat. How many like to eat? Inject God into your world. In your prayer time and devotion time, don't just go, well, I wonder why I read that today. What do you mean if I eat your flesh and drink your blood, Lord? That's a weird one. Open the day up to the Lord and go, Lord, I'm your vessel, flow through me. Amen? People say, well, I'm not qualified. Well, I have the next part of my message just for you. I was praying for you. Skip over to, I want to read verse 35 in the Passion Translation. It says this: why would you say the harvest is another 4 months away? Look at all the people coming. Now is harvest time. When is harvest time? Now. For their hearts are live, vast fields of ripened grain ready for spiritual harvest. I love that. I like that. I like being in situations and being able to share the Lord and being able to minister to people. The other day we sold some Barbie dollhouse thing, and which took a long time to put together, by the way. But we sold it to somebody. They bought it on Facebook, and we go there, and within seconds, Heidi's ministering to the lady, and I'm ministering to the guy. And all we did was deliver a Barbie dollhouse. Now, how spiritual is Barbie dollhouse? How spiritual is exchanging money and somebody purchasing something on Facebook? It's not. But how did it become spiritual? We're there. We are salt and light. You are not in the job that you're in by accident. You are not in the family that you're in by accident. You could be the person that draws a soul out of hell and brings them to heaven. Because oftentimes, I will never meet the people you do. I never will. You can bring them to the church. You should bring them to the church. They should come. They should be a part. They should be discipled. But you may have to lead them right where you're at to the Lord, right then, right there. Do you know Jesus does not care if you lead somebody to the Lord on pavement or at a pew? He does not care. He doesn't care if it's in a bar. He will meet somebody where they're at. Come on. Jesus is not religious. He'll meet where they're at. He'll meet where they're at. The oftentimes what happens is you see, like in Ecclesiastes 11:4, people have this mentality. He who observes the wind and waits for all the conditions to be favorable will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. In other words, oh, I can't do it today. There might be a storm. Well, I can't share the Lord today because this might, you know. Well, I can't do it now because I got this going on. Well, I can't do it now. And God is looking for people that will be alive, awake, and aware, and more interested in everything that he's doing than just their own little world. How many know we walk around oftentimes as believers who carry the very eternal words of heaven inside of us, who carry the resurrection of Jesus Christ on the inside of us, and we walk with our heads down and our eyes in front of us and on our own problems rather than lifting our eyes and seeing that the harvest is white. And the thing that you think that you're going to be able to fix in your own life by focusing down will only come as an answer when you seek the kingdom of God first and his righteousness. And then what? All these things will be added unto you. But you say, that's difficult. No, it just takes faith, and you can do it because you have the resurrection of Christ within you. But it demands, God demands a response. He demands faith and action. God is not going to come down on you in the middle of your work and start puppeting you. Now you go tell them that I love them. And you're, I don't want to, Lord. That's not God. God doesn't do that. He gives you free will. He gives you free will, amen? I love it. Verse 27, John 4:27. At this point, his disciples came and they marveled, saying, you're talking to a woman. Apparently it wasn't kosher for males to talk to females at that time without the spouse around. Or why are you talking to her? So the disciples didn't even go there. Verse 28, that says, the woman left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men. Now think about this. She just encountered Jesus. And what does she do? She starts to seek in her field. She starts to cast a net in her waters. She turns around, walks right back into the city after an encounter with God and says, hey, come see a man who told me things that I, all the things I ever did. What if you invited your friends to church that way? Hey, come hear a preacher. He'll tell you everything you did wrong. It's going to be great. So the anointing must have been on this lady's words. Is she doing everything perfect? No, but she's doing something. Hello. God's not looking for perfection. He's looking for availability. Salt and light. She turns around. She walks in. She says, come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? I think that's really what got their attention. Then they went out of the city and came to him. Notice this in verse 28 and 29. First, what do we see she did? She shared her experience with Jesus. With those in her world. She told them that she met someone who told her everything she ever did. Sometimes I think we try to get too technical with sharing our faith when it is the Holy Spirit who does the convicting, not us. So just share what the Lord has done for you and what you have seen him do for others in your life. Tell somebody what happened. How come you got happy all of a sudden? I got the joy of the Lord. I found Jesus. You don't even have to say that. You just say, I found Jesus. Jesus, who's Jesus? Well, he's the Son of God. That's deep, isn't it? You don't need a theological degree to share your faith. All you need is willingness and just talk. Some of the best soul winners I have ever seen, I sit back and go, man, they're just introducing one friend to another that they just met. That's it. What did she do? She walked back into her city and she said, guess what? I encountered Jesus. You should come see him. That's it. That's simple. That's so simple. We make it too difficult at times. So secondly, what do we see she does? She invites them to come and see Jesus. Now physically, we can't invite them to come see Jesus. But even if you don't have the, if in that moment you don't produce the moxie, you don't yield to the boldness of the Lord in you to the degree where you're able to lead that person to the Lord, you could at least say, hey, come visit church. Because even if you don't preach Jesus, there are many people in this room who will. I will. You say, well, that's because, you know, you're specially anointed. No, I'm just like you. I feel the same things you do when you go to share something with somebody and you feel fear. I'm exactly the same way. Unfortunately, I'm not. I don't have a glorified body yet, so I still have to put up with it. You know, I've preached on a street corner. Shared Jesus with somebody on a street corner. They sat there and looked at me. I preached the gospel to them. They sat there and with their kind of their head down, and they look at me and their tears are just streaming down their face. And they and I got all the way done. And I thought, man, I got a fish. I got a fish. I'm going to pray with this guy right now. He's going to get born again. He looked at me and said, nope, I can't do it. And he walked away. It is not my job to make sure they get saved. It's my job to tell. You don't have to tell the way I tell. You can tell your own way. Well, I'm not loud like you. Well, not in, you know, we're not all perfect. I wish I wasn't loud like me. Josh really does, because it's a sound nightmare. Well, I'm just not bold like that. I'm just not outgoing. Well, then be a friend and be quiet about it, but pray. And talk to him privately. Well, I'm not going to stand on the street corner. Well, then get your neighbor's name and pray for him. Get your develop relationships with people and begin to be a witness wherever you are. Begin to have some taste, salt. Make work where people want to come and see you. Instead of complaining about your family members, pray for them. God will open the door. Amen. He will open the door and you'll have opportunity. I love these messages. This woman did not go to Bible school. She is not delivering a three-part message on salvation. She simply shares what happened in her experience with Jesus and invites people to come and see if this is the Christ. We can do this. They stopped. Notice the response of the people. They stopped what they were doing to go see Jesus. You don't know how people are going to respond. It is not our job to make people respond. It is our job to share. Let's not allow fear and insecurity to stop us from sharing Jesus. Let's be in faith and boldness. And that is not a feeling. It's a decision. So it says this. Many of the Samaritans of that city, verse 39, believed in Jesus because of the word of the woman who testified. He told them all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days, and many more believed because of his own word. Then they said to the woman, now we believe not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Isn't it interesting? Your words can be believable, and they can lead somebody to the Lord, and then they will hear the Lord for themselves, and they will believe even stronger. Isn't that interesting? That is the design that the Lord has, that not only they be converted, but then what? They be disciples. So, if we are going to be salt and light in our worlds, we must be intentional with our faith. Do not despise your world. Realize that God placed you where you are, and that this is a wonderful opportunity to use your faith and be a witness for him. I am for world missions. I am not against world missions. I am not at all. We give in to many works that are around, or at least one for sure, that has many branches around the world. But Jesus died for those around us as well. In other words, when God is saying go into all the world and preach the gospel, he isn't saying you have to become a missionary to China. He's telling you what is in your world. He's asking you. Think about it. Where are you at? What is your world? Take out, see, these are just some practical things you could do. Not right now, but take out a sheet of paper. Sit down. Think through the people that have consistent contact with you in your life and make a prayer list. Begin to pray for these people on a consistent basis. Believe God for opportunities to sow the gospel of Christ into them and to be a harvester, reaping off of what others have sown. Think about ways to be a blessing to others, ways to open doors of conversation. Jesus works through all personality types. How about this? Social media is a great way to share your faith. Just don't get sucked into the drama. Well, last time I posted something about Jesus, somebody commented, God's newsflash, God's dead. So I responded back, no, he's not. Don't do that. Just pray for them. Well, they cursed me. We put an ad on Facebook one time to invite people to the church for a special thing that we were doing. It was hilarious. Somebody posted, you know, in a real snobbish, hypocritical, high-minded way, you know, something about evolution and God's dead and basically I'm an idiot, okay? And I kind of laughed, you know, because the Bible says that God sits in the heavens and laughs at his enemies. So I thought I'd join him for a little bit. And this the laughing section, Lord? Okay. So, no, I just kind of chuckled because if the enemy can do those things and it derails you, he'll just do it and you'll never get anywhere. You've got to be able to deal with some opposition. I mean, grow some thick skin. You know? I mean, we have it so easy in America. Our temptation is not that we're afraid that our families are going to be killed or crucified or thrown to the lions. Our temptations are we have way too much stuff to do and we just get so busy. God's way back in the list. It's the exact opposite in our world. We can't get so absorbed with this. But use social media. Do you know everything, every event on our website, faithfamilybillings.com, you can share on Facebook with the click of a button. It's social media friendly. You can go in and share whatever you want. It'll go. You don't even have to write it. You don't even have to come up with the idea or the image or the picture, anything. You just click it, share it, go. Why? Because there's a big net out there. You have a bunch of friends that are in your circle on Facebook that I will never have. And they need to hear about Jesus. They need to hear about your faith. Amen. And then he says, and then there are some other things. Take a stack of our church invites and give them to people as the Lord gives you opportunity. Leave them with a server after a meal in a restaurant. If you leave a decent tip. If you don't, do not do it. Okay? Does that make sense? Because why? Because you're going to leave a crummy tip and then leave my name there. Call Pastor Sean. And then I'm going to have to go tip him. Do you see what I'm saying? That's an opportunity. All you have to do is just be pleasant, talk to him. When the service is done, you put the check there. I just did it yesterday. You put the invite on top of the receipt. Or the cash, whatever you're leaving. And leave them and say, hey, you know, here's an invite. They can look at that card. It shows the map where we are. It shows what we believe. It has the website. It has everything right there. And you never know. That server could be going through hell. And you could be a light right then and there. You could be salt. If you're more bold, if you're more aware of what's going on and you want to get after it, man, share Jesus with them right then and there. You say, oh, that might interrupt their work schedule. Well, you know, it'll miss hell. Right? I'm not saying it's that way every time. I'm saying it's an opportunity. Tracts are a great way to tell others about Jesus. Hand out tracts. I have a friend of mine, a pastor, he's a mentor, father in the faith to me, and they hand out tracts. And he read years ago that people will not throw away a tract if it has a scripture on it. There's like a 90% chance they'll just keep it. Even if they don't believe it, they'll just hang on to it. He's given out tracts for years, 20-some years after he handed out tracts. A man came up to him 20 years later and said, you gave me this check 20 years ago and I kept it and I'm saved now. 20 years! We don't know. Invite someone to church and offer to pick them up before service and bring them. Then afterward, take them out to lunch. Talk about what you heard. You know, we've lost things that people did in communities years ago just as a normal. Oh, we just thought we'd drop in, bring you some apple pie. We've lost all that stuff. And the church originated that. Did you know that? Meals on Wheels. Offer to pray for people's needs on the spot or write it down and take time later. Well, you don't know what I got going on. What you got going on will be a whole lot better when you include the Lord in it. It'll just get better and better, more gooder and more gooder. Amen? It will. You'll see it. Now, I'm going to print out stuff I haven't printed out, but you can stand with me, please. I think I'm going to wrap it up this week with this message, but part of our call is to train you. Not to do all the work for you. Kingdom work is awesome. You're not going to find anything more. I mean, how many have ever led somebody to the Lord in on the street or somewhere, not in church? It is like the greatest feeling ever. I love it. And it takes faith, but it grows you. It develops you. And you need to develop. You need to get stronger. Why? Because we're all growing. We all need to develop. We all need to get stronger. And the gospel allows us and affords us that opportunity. We're going to put them out there. There are tons of church invites on that welcome table out there. We purchased 5,000 church invites. So take them, hand them out, put them on public bulletin board. How many have been to a gas station and they have that bulletin board back by the bathrooms? Take our card, put it there. You say, well, nobody's going to. You don't know who's going to. The Lord could make that thing glow in the dark. You know what I mean? There could be a drunk that staggers in there and comes out and looks and says, what is that? And pulls it off and puts it in his pocket and walks home. When he sobers up, goes, oh, how did I get this? You say, that's far-fetched. No, no, it's happened. It's happened. Just begin to get salty. Not in a negative way. Okay? Begin to be a light wherever you are. Not a blinding light. Let's be pleasant about it, okay? Does that make sense? You guys catch the heart of what God's wanting to do there? As you do, let me just say this. And this is not, I mean, I feel it's an unction from the Lord, but this is not a prophecy because it's a scripture. As you do what the Lord tells you to do and you put Him first, you're going to see the needs you have in your life taken care of. Trust me. He will do it. I mean, don't even trust me. Trust Him. He will do what His Word says. Amen? Now, if you're in here this morning, if you need prayer for healing, if you need prayer for any need that you have, if you've never been born again, if you'd like to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, evidence speaking in other tongues, we'd be glad to pray with you after the service. Let's pray generally right now, and we'll let you go. Father, we just thank You for Your Word. Lord, we thank You for Your goodness. We thank You for Your Spirit in this place. And Your blessing upon Your people. Lord, as this word seeds in, Lord, we'll protect it and not let it be stolen. We'll be doers of Your word and not hearers only in the name of Jesus. We thank You, Father, that we will have testimonies out of obedience from Your people in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. God bless you guys. We'll see you next week. Wednesday nights start in, not this week, but next. Bible study. Check the website, faithfamilybillings.com. Everything's on there.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.